Chapter 30. The White Tomb. All lessons were suspended, all examinations postponed. Some students were hurried away from Hogwarts by their parents over the next couple of days. The Patil twins were gone before breakfast on the morning following Dumbledore's death, and Zacharias Smith was escorted from the castle by his haughty-looking father. Seamus Finnegan, on the other hand, refused point-blank to accompany his mother home. They had a shouting match in the entrance hall that was resolved when she agreed that he could remain behind for the funeral. She had difficulty in finding a bed in Hogsmeade, Seamus told Harry and Ron, for wizards and witches were pouring into the village, preparing to pay their last respects to Dumbledore. Some excitement was caused among the younger students, who had never seen it before, when a powder blue carriage, the size of a house, pulled by a dozen giant winged palominos, came soaring out of the sky in the late afternoon before the funeral and landed on the edge of the forest. Harry watched from a window as a gigantic and handsome olive-skinned, black-haired woman descended the carriage steps and threw herself into the waiting Hagrid's arms. Meanwhile, a delegation of ministry officials, including the Minister of Magic himself, was being accommodated within the castle. Harry was diligently avoiding contact with any of them. He was sure that sooner or later he would be asked again to account for Dumbledore's last excursion from Hogwarts. Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ginny were spending all of their time together. The beautiful weather seemed to mock them. Harry could imagine how it would have been if Dumbledore had not died, and they had had this time together at the very end of the year. Ginny's examinations finished, the pressure of homework lifted. And hour by hour, he put off saying the thing that he knew he must say, doing what he knew was right to do, because it was too hard to forego his best source of comfort. They visited the hospital wing twice a day. Neville had been discharged, but Bill remained under Madame Pomfrey's care. His scars were as bad as ever. In truth, he now bore a distinct resemblance to Mad-Eye Moody, though thankfully with both eyes and legs. But in personality, he seemed just the same as ever. All that appeared to have changed was that he now had a great liking for very rare steaks.
"So it is lucky he is marrying me," said Fleur happily, plumping up Bill's pillows, "because the British overcook their meat. I have always said this."
"I suppose I'm just going to have to accept that he really is going to marry her," sighed Ginny later that evening, as she, Harry, Ron and Hermione sat beside the open window of the Gryffindor common room, looking out over the twilit grounds.
"She's not that bad," said Harry.
"Ugly, though," he added hastily as Ginny raised her eyebrows, and she let out a reluctant giggle.
"Well, I suppose if Mum can stand it, I can." "Anyone else we know died?" Ron asked Hermione, who was perusing the Evening Prophet.
Hermione winced at the forced toughness in his voice.
"No,"
she said reprovingly, folding up the newspaper.
"They're still looking for Snape, but no sign."
"Of course there isn't," said Harry,
who became angry every time this subject cropped up.
"They won't find Snape till they find Voldemort, and seeing as they've never managed to do that in all this time..."
"I'm going to go to bed," yawned Ginny.
"I haven't been sleeping that well since, well, I could do with some sleep." She kissed Harry, Ron looked away pointedly, waved at the other two, and departed for the girls' dormitories. The moment the door had closed behind her, Hermione leaned forward toward Harry, with the most Hermione-ish look on her face.
"Harry, I found something out this morning in the library."
"R.A.B.?" said Harry, sitting up straight. He did not feel the way he had so often felt before, excited, curious, burning to get to the bottom of a mystery. He simply knew that the task of discovering the truth about the real Horcrux had to be completed before he could move a little farther along the dark and winding path stretching ahead of him, the path that he and Dumbledore had set out upon together, and which he now knew he would have to journey alone.